Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
It is a pantheon of concrete and steel. It is a city that rises defiantly in the Delta, alongside the Father of Waters. It is the humidity of autumn evenings that drapes stately oaks and broad magnolias. It is haunted, and it is wild. It is a Louisiana gumbo of humanity that cheers its tigers to victory and destroys the dreams of invading foes. It is the cathedral of college football, and worship happens here when the sun finds its home in the western sky. It is a field of glory, for sure. But much more than that, it is a sacred place. And it is Saturday night in Death Valley.
Well, we don't get to have it Saturday night. Is Tuesday around lunch work for you? LSU football coming to Arizona.
Wake up, Rosie.
This isn't going to be a sports broadcast, don't worry. But how can LSU come to town for the Fiesta Bowl and we not cover it in the 7 o'clock hour? Rosie would want it that way. You know what? Yeah. That's my get-out-of-jail card till he's back. Rosie would want it that way.
That's exactly right. There's your excuse.
And when we take relatives, if you're new to the broadcast or you're just tuning in, you're listening to Rosie on the House, what originally started as a home improvement radio broadcast back in the 80s here in Arizona has morphed over the last 30 years. In 2004, we extended to a third hour and brought in landscape and gardening. And then I guess it's been 3 years or it'll be 3 years on February 14th. It'll be 4 years. It'll be 4 years on February 14th because my daughter Landry will turn 5, and we had the first broadcast on her one-year birthday.
Oh, I see. So it's 5 minus 1.
5 minus 1.
There you go.
Landry's age minus 1. So it'll be 4 years. In February, we added a fourth hour, and this is our Arizona People, Places, and Events, and a big event happening here in Arizona. It'll start at the end of this broadcast at 11 o'clock. We'll be 72 hours away from kickoff of the 2019. This would be the 2018 Fiesta Bowl, or is it 2019?
I guess it would be 2019 since it's New Year's Day. So,
It would be the 2018 season.
True.
So I think. Anyway.
Well, we talk about the Arizona Hour, brought to you by Sanderson Ford, and it's about people, places, and things. So the way I look at it is, the people are the LSU fans that are coming to town. Only the second time that LSU's been in the state. First time was with Arizona State.
Third time.
Okay.
You know what? And the Republic got it wrong.
Shame on you.
Thursday.
So did I.
In the sports section, they said LSU football in Arizona. 2003, LSU 59 over U of A 13. I was there. Only time I've been at U of A Stadium. Beautiful stadium, by the way. Beautiful green lawn. 2005. This should have been in Baton Rouge, but Hurricane Katrina.
The Katrina game.
The LSU facility was being used to harbor refugees, people fleeing the hurricane. They were helicoptering in and out of the track and field to bring in supplies. So it got moved to ASU, Sun Devil Stadium, and LSU won that in a come-behind victory. I think they had to score like 17 points in the fourth quarter to win 35-31.
It was an emotional game for a lot of folks because they were affected by Katrina. But early Doucette,
northwest corner of the stadium, up on the high rise, and I saw early Doucette running towards us. This was fourth down from like the 35-yard line, the last chance LSU had, and Jamarcus Russell off his back foot flicked a perfect pass. Early Doucette caught it with one foot in bounds, and LSU won that. Then what they got wrong is they said 2006, LSU 45, Arizona 3. It says LSU football in Arizona. That was not in Arizona. That was back in Baton Rouge.
It was.
It was.
With the Wildcats?
And yeah. LeRon Landry was still on defense. Oh, I remember sitting there with my uncle, who lived in Tucson at the time. We were sitting in Baton Rouge. And I said, watch this. It's been a while, but early Doucette's going to, or LeRon Landry, watch out for him. And the next play, he intercepted it. And it kind of started the path to a 45-3 victory.
So LSU owns the Wildcats at this point. Well, getting back to what I was saying, that the Arizona Hour.
Third time they're in the state.
Going back to what we said, it's about people, places, and things in Arizona. The people are the LSU fans coming to the Valley. The place is Arizona, and the thing is the Fiesta Bowl. So we thought, you know, with Rosie, diehard, he's the diehard LSU fan.
Well, here's how deep it goes. Families.
Yeah.
His father, Dr. Rosie,
mm-hmm.
was in the stadium with his wife, Baby Kay, who was pregnant, in 1958, Halloween night, when Billy Cannon returned a punt return for a touchdown. In the video, they say he should have been tackled at least eight opportunities to be tackled. And LSU won 7-6 over Ole Miss.
It was Ole Miss.
And they went on to win their first national champion that year. Mm-hmm. Since then, we've had season tickets in Death Valley. Still to this day, we have them in the family. And they've been passed down on to Dad now. So it's a deep tradition. And what we thought we'd do, instead of talking about sports, the sport of football necessarily, when we take people to Louisiana, they all say the same thing. I feel like I need a passport to be down here. So we thought there's going to be a lot of people that are just going to the Fiesta Bowl. They don't care about LSU. They don't care about University of Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought we'd at least maybe help you fit in a little bit or understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So here's some things you need to know to be an LSU fan or to fit in the LSU crowd. Because as Pat Ford of Yahoo Sports wrote in September 2011, LSU fans have descended upon Dallas and remind us all of the truth. When it comes to partying, they're the pros and we're all just amateurs. So you're going to want to go to the LSU tailgate.
Yeah.
You're going to want to go to where the party is.
Yeah.
And we'll help you fit in a little bit. Not that you won't be welcomed if you don't, but you'll understand a little bit more of what's going on around you with this information.
I guarantee you, if you show up for the tailgate, somebody will shove some food to you. It would either be boudin
we'll
or jambalaya.
We'll get to food.
Yeah.
But the first thing you need to know is the four seasons in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the beginning of the year starting off with crawfish.
Right.
Then you've got your crab season.
Right.
Then you've got hurricane season. And then you have football season.
Yeah.
Those are your four seasons.
Now, sometimes hurricane season affects football season. If there was something threatening the coast, then you've got to figure out if you're going to stay at home or you got to go to another stadium to play. So,
well, like Katrina. Yeah, just
like
Katrina.
I was
into September. That was pretty late for a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
But, sometimes seasons overlap. You could catch crawfish, pretty late into June sometimes.
My surprise is you can catch crawfish in Arizona, and I just learned about how to do it 2 years ago.
Did you learn that by listening to Rosie on the House?
Listening to Rosie on the House, plus the annual crawfish boil in Heber Overgaard. I got to see how they got the traps put together, because I love going up to the lakes and fishing. Once I saw crawfish, I had a big smile. But, two or three I can catch on my pole ain't enough. You need a 40-pound sack.
You need a 40-pound sack to make a meal out of crawfish.
Right.
But you also need to know the difference between Cajun and Creole.
Yes.
Now, this can be a very long topic, and it can be very opinionated on each side. And it can go back with plenty of supporting stories and proofs and writings on both sides. But simply put, Cajun is everything south of I-10 and west of Kenner. Creole's everything else.
We always defined it.
You could also put it, Cajun is country, Creole is city.
Yeah. We also defined it. If you look at the map of Louisiana, Alexandria is dead center. Draw a straight line from border to border. Everything down there is Cajun country for the most part. New Orleans has a little mix of Cajun and Creole. Everything to the north is Texas.
Arkansas
too, part of that.
See, you're a little bit more farther north on your line. Ours is I-10. And from a family that comes from New Iberia and Welsh, south of I-10, anything north of I-10. But you do have Opelousas. We'd probably
you have to include them.
Scott. We'd let them in because they got best stop, the best boudin in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you're there's a few areas that maybe you can go a little bit north of I-10.
Yeah, but the folks in Bunkie and Ville Platte, I mean, that's pure Cajun too. So that's now that with I-49 that cuts through, that Cajun culture has really spread up to the north. When you get to Alexandria, it gets a little cloudy. Sorry, Alec.
Well, the estimated population of Cajun is 1.2 million. They say 800,000 plus of those are in Louisiana, but they also say there's 56,000 in Texas, which we would have expected. I can't tell you. My uncle had 7 kids. All of them live in Houston. I guess my great uncle.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the next state behind Texas? You'll never guess it. So I'll save you. California.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
Then Maryland and Maine, when they were kicked out of Nova Scotia by the English. There's a different word they use for that. But when they were forced to leave their homes, they would just land wherever the ships landed, and a lot of them did end up in that far northwest once they came around the peninsula. But most came around the Florida peninsula and ended up in Louisiana. The Cajun is known heavy French. But you also have to know there's a huge influence of both Spanish. Where do you think Romero came from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my real last name, we found out, we had to go back 12 generations because it's pronounced in a French way. That's why I say Gary D because the last name can be a real fight for anybody. But it's pronounced with a French dialect. But going back 12 generations, I've always contended that it came from Spanish, just like Romero did. And we found out that was true.
And there's also a heavy influence of African roots. In fact, the word gumbo, which I think anybody knows is a very, you know, the centerfold of Cajun meals, the word gumbo is a African word for okra, because okra was found a lot in gumbo. And I'm not sure what tribe that comes from, descendant, but that is an African word, gumbo. Our center staple of food. We are past our due for a break, so we'll come back and we'll dive into the food a little bit, because that's going to be the key point of the tailgate, is what you're looking at, what you're eating, and understanding the amount of time and preparation that goes into each one of these meals.